Dear Pastor Brad and all the elders and deacons and saints of the church of St. Paul's Westport, good to come back to our family. And it has been about 2 years after my last visit to our home here, and ever since we are continually praying and staying in touch together. And most of you are aware through my emails and communication how things are happening through our ministry there in India. So today, this morning, as we come to the house of God, I have a joy and a privilege to come before you to share with you briefly a verse from the Bible, also a brief report from the mission field, how things are happening in India today. Number one, I'm going to share something about the work of God through our ministry, also general information from the mission field in the land of India. As I come this morning, I have also my good friend, Brother Russell, Russell Buck, and he had been out to India with us once, and we have a joy of working together in the master's field. So this morning, I'm going to read just one portion from Book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse number 3, 4, 5, and 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Verse number 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of his very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Paul the Apostle, the man of God, he writes his this book, the first church Paul the Apostle found in Macedonia, and he writes this letter to the church in Philippi after 11 years of his first visit to church in Philippi. But as we read this portion, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So brothers and sisters, as I come this morning, and we have a similar connection in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we live in different lands and we are working for Jesus in different lands with in different situation, yet we give thanks to the Lord when we remember each other, when we remember our family here, St. Paul's Lutheran Church here, and we give thanks to the Lord as we remember you. Also, when you remember us, you do the same, because we are one family in Christ Jesus. So this morning, friends, I come with a thanks to my Lord Jesus for giving me opportunity to come back to America again. I don't come to America all the time. My wife and I, as a family, we are living in India full-time, serving in the mission field in the front line in the past 27 years. And most of you are aware how the Lord saved me from a Hindu family as a boy, 8-year-old boy, dying from leukemia, and two American brothers whom God sent to pray for me on the street of India. And the Lord miraculously raised me from the point of death, and he saved me, and he saved my family, all family from a Hindu background. That was 1978 in the month of November. So ever since, we have a joy of following our dear Savior Jesus Christ, despite of lot of suffering, persecution, opposition, but the Lord Jesus, he stood with our family. He never left us alone. But thank God for the point where I realized seriously in 1991, soon after completing my theological studies in India, that was April 1991. Thank God for the joy of going to theological seminary, finishing my bachelor's in theology. But the bachelor's in theology offered me with a beautiful certificate when I was graduated from theological seminary, but they did not tell me where to go, what to do, how to do. On the following day, all the students who were graduated from the seminary, they left the seminary and they went on to their directions. But nobody invited me to go to a church. There was no pastor, there was no mission, there was no Christian who could go with me or to suggest to me and saying, Jacob, we want to stand behind you. Would you go with us? I was left alone at the seminary, fasting and praying a couple of days before the Lord and asking, Lord, you raised me from the point of death. And you came to my deathbed and you spoke to me, your name is Jesus. And you said, son, you will not die but live. Therefore, Lord, you've given me second life. So now I give my life back to your feet. I have no mission board. I have no people to go with me. But Lord, thank you for 2 feet. And thank you for one old Bible. Thank God for the day with one old Bible and 2 feet. That was when the Lord called me to the ministry in 1991 April. And then 6 months time, the work started from 3 people. Thank God for that humble beginning. And my prayer and my target was to see if I could win one person for Jesus. If something would happen, if somebody could even kill me, and that's okay, if I could win only one soul, therefore when I see my Jesus, that one soul will be there with me, with Jesus. So that was my prayer. But the Lord given me 3 people. Thank God for those 3 people who found Jesus in their lives from a tribal family. And from that humble beginning in 1992, I was married. My wife Elizabeth and I, we joined together. And then the small work began to gradually grow. And thank God, my wife and I, we are married for almost 26 years, working together. The Lord blessed us with the 3 children, the grown-up children. Our son Daniel is 24 years, and the Victoria is 22 years. And Samuel, the baby one, and he is 20 years. And praise God, I'm glad to inform you that 3 of them made a decision to follow Jesus, and they are baptized, and they are believers in the Lord Jesus. So it's a great joy to see that our children are following Jesus faithfully. So then, and as a family, as we joined together, the Lord continually began to work in the mission field, and the work began to grow. So now I'm going to share with you briefly about mission work, how things are happening in the mission field concerning the missions. As most of you are aware, there are so many restrictions happening today in India concerning the gospel work. And a lot of Christian mission organizations based in America working in India are now put out of the country, that including Compassion International. Compassion International is working in 142 countries, but India is the only country that is putting off Compassion International out of the country because it is a Christian organization. So there are so many things are happening right now, so much pressure is going on, but despite, the work of the gospel is continually going forward. As the Bible says in Gospel of in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, and the message of cross is foolishness to those who perish. But for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel message is having the power, resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Even though there's so much opposition, but still so many people finding Jesus even in this day in India. So our humble work began to grow. In November 1994, we were starting a small Bible training program under a mango tree from 15 new gentlemen brothers. It was only just a 2 months training program. After 2 months training program, laying hands on them, praying for them, every one of them, they were praying before God and asking, Lord, I am here. I am ready to go to mission field. They were not highly educated people, simple people, humble people, but filled by the passion and burden from the Lord to go out and bring the gospel. From those 15 people in 1994, and then they completed their small training, like a 2 months training program in January 1995, from that humble beginning today, 1,568 students are trained in our Bible school. We call our Bible school as a burning heart Bible school, training local missionaries, equipping them, sending them out into mission field and planting churches. And most of you are aware, friends, from 1,568 students who are graduated, but how did they graduate? our graduation is not much a theology, not much a Hebrew or Greek language, but it's a lifetime commitment before Jesus that they are willing to stand to die for the sake of the gospel. On the night when they receive graduation, all of them, they stand in front of the Lord and they make a decision and say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing to die for the sake of the gospel. This is the commitment they make before they receive the graduation. Then they go out into the mission field. As they go, we give them a bicycle and a Bible. So this is all we do when they go to the mission field. We give them a bicycle and a Bible. Friends, what a joy to send these young missionary families out into mission field with a Bible and bicycle. Of course, we don't leave them alone. We stand behind them, pray for them, support them, encourage them. So from 1,568 today, 1,052 of them working as a full-time missionaries in the mission field and planting churches in different parts of the country in India. And as a result, people ask me, Jacob, are these local missionaries successful? Are they successful in the mission field? My answer is yes, they are successful. God is using them. Their principles are very simple. Preaching the gospel, casting out demons, and praying for sick people, planting churches, and helping those little new churches to grow through the word of God. And today, as a result of sending those local missionary families, over 200,000 people following Jesus Christ. So over 100,000 people baptized. We have a record of every single baptism, how many people baptized. So over 100,000 people now baptized, but if we include all the people, children, families and all, who are not even baptized yet, but they are going to baptize altogether 200,000 people following Jesus Christ. From three people in 1991 today, 200,000 people following my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, my Lord did not call me as a big leader or a big boss to those missionaries, but I believe in my heart, every time I see their faces, the missionary brothers, I believe the Lord has called me to be a servant to wash their feet. Sometimes these missionary brothers walk about 10, 15, 20 miles with a barefoot and come to me with a dirty feet, and I just take a basin and take a mug of water and wash their feet and say, brothers, thank you for preaching the gospel. Thank you for choosing your life, for dedicating your life to serve Jesus. Thank you for choosing this life to serve Jesus. So this is my heart, loving them, washing their feet, helping them, encouraging them. If a family praying for 10 years or 5 years for a motorbike which cost about $1,000, and we could help them out with a motorbike, so wife, husband, maybe two or three children, all family can travel on the motorbike and speed up the work of God. So anything or everything possibility we have, we are trying to help out to missionary families to continually bring the gospel to those people in India. So friends, that's the one hand. Our mission is very simple. In one hand, holding the Bible, the living bread, the word of God, preaching the gospel, training local missionaries, sending local missionaries, planting local churches, and helping the local churches to grow through the word of God. That is in one hand. But in the other hand, holding natural bread, that is charitable activities, as Jesus would holding natural bread and holding living bread together, working in the mission field. In the other hand, as most of you are aware, and most of you are sponsoring some of the orphan children in our church here through the years, thank you so much for your faithful prayers and support for the orphan children. And I never forget the day on 12th of June 1994, bringing only three children, two girls, a boy, to home to start a small work. From that humble beginning, today so many children living and getting education, food, clothing, total care in our orphanages. And on that day when I brought those three kids, people began to laugh at me, asking, Jacob, there are over 20 million orphan children in India. What could you do if you would only bring three children to your home? But we never knew that one day the Lord would give us thousands of children and responsibility. So thank God, friends, today, as of this day, we are taking care of 6,500 children in our orphanages and in our children homes in different parts of the country. There are several orphanages with a big number, like 2,000 children, 1,300 children, 500 children, and plus we do have a small orphanage with 150 children and so. So in the bigger orphanages, we also established primary schools. We have 5 primary schools, and also we have 3 high schools, and providing these children with a quality education. And not just providing them with food and accommodation, but also quality education. Friends, in India, quality education is only possible to people, those who are having good money or good possession. The normal people, common people, or poor people, they don't have a possibility. But thank God, these orphan children who came through our door, who joined in our orphanages, now they are like king's children. They have their tie, belt, shoes, school bag, and they come to me, they ask me, "Papa, how do I look like?" Then I always tell them, "You look like a princess. You look like a prince." They are so happy that Papa says that they look like princess and a prince. It is true, friends. Once upon a time, those kids, nobody wants those kids. Maybe sleeping in the railway stations, hungry, and maybe sleeping in the bus stations or public places. Nobody wants them. Maybe trapped in a system of karma. But thank God for the day when they came to the door. For every child we open the door, I believe we are welcoming Jesus to our home. See, the Bible says in Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verse number 5, Jesus says, "Whosoever may take one of these little ones in my name," Jesus says, "you are taking me to your home." So who is our guest? How Jesus is coming to our home? Jesus is coming to our home in the form of an orphan child. When we say, "Son, welcome to our home," "Son, daughter, welcome to our home," every child we welcomed, I believe we are welcoming Jesus to our home. So friends, praise God for the privilege of caring, loving, helping those orphan kids in India. And in the past 24 years' time, so many of those children actually grew up, and some of them already married and having families, some of them working in the mission field, some of them working in the, as a teachers, as engineers, in different positions. My brother, Brother Russell, and we were discussing together how many children really following Jesus after they leave the orphanage. How many children following? Then the answer is, friends, 80%. I wanted to be sure to say something before you. Over 80% of the children, those who grew up in our orphanages, and they're faithfully following Jesus Christ. So 20%, I'm not sure, because they're young people and still the message is there in their mind, in their heart. Maybe some point the Lord may bring them back to the church and to the fellowship. But at present, 80% following the Lord Jesus. So we have a lot of possibilities for the children. You know, they are not always children. When they come to the orphanage, they may be 3 years or 4 years or 2 years. But as they grow, as they finish their high school, and then we have some possibilities for them to go through the college program. We have 2 vocational programs, and also we have 2 nursing schools. One is a basic nursing school, 2 years program, and the other one is 3.5 years nursing training school. So when they finish their program in the orphanage, they also go through our nursing schools and technical school or lab technician school, so that when they finish their education, they will become professionals. So they go out as a professionals from our orphanages. So gradually we are working still to make more possibilities for them to get more education, to become professionals in the country. And I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for your continual prayers and support here. Our church, our St. Paul Church, as a church, you are supporting a home for the disabled children. And I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for your continual support for the disabled children there in India. And It takes me a long time. If I have a time, I could have explained you details. But this home for the disabled children was opened in 2004. And then the work is completed then by January 2005. And thank God for a sister, one lady from United Kingdom called Joy. And I went to United Kingdom to share the gospel. And there was a small meeting. There were a couple of people sitting in the meeting. There was an older lady sitting in front of me. After the meeting, she began to cry. She said, Jacob, when I heard about disabled children, and it breaks my heart. And she said, I'm a retired lady. I cannot really do much, but I can pray and how the Lord would open door for me. So that's all she said. But when I returned back to India, she opened a charity shop. I do not know if I'm speaking right word. She opened up a charity shop for second-hand clothes and stuff like that. And she raised enough money to build a home for the disabled children. She never been out to India. She said, Jacob, I cannot come to India, but I love India. I pray for India. So then from January 2005 onwards, we are continually helping those disabled kids, providing them with a care, total care, and also providing them with a quality education. Some of them are very smart in education. They're getting into schools and getting quality education, but some of them are not up to the mark to go to. They go to school, but they're not that clever in education. So we have a special teachers to help them out to get into the system. And also some children need special care. Also, we have a people helping in the home with the special needs as children having. So brothers and sisters, thank you so much for your prayers and support for the home, the disabled children, disabled children, and they are doing one thing from the home there in India. Every day they are praying from that home, praying for our family here at St. Paul's. So every time I see them, I don't see them quite often because our mission is widespread. If I'm in India, I see them at least once in a month. So every time I go and see them, they always tells me that they are praying for our family of St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Thank you for standing behind the work of the Lord. So then I'm also going to speak in the second session, and since I'm informed already, and also continually drilling water wells, and also working in 46 leprosy colonies, and work is continually progressing. Friends, just I want to close with one brief information. 2 years ago, I was praying seriously about setting up a sustainable project. You know, when I come to America in the past 15 years, and I see a lot of churches today, they have no mission in the overseas. When I visit people, sometimes talk about the orphan children need for Christmas and all, they say, Jacob, I particularly see one of the brothers says, Jacob, we are building a soccer game stadium with a $60 million and we are busy. We have no money for the orphans. So today, a lot of American churches in different situation, I see so many churches, they don't have any mission for overseas missions today. That's one side, but in the other side, there are so many restrictions coming in India for Christian missions. Therefore, we don't see a long-run future to raise support from America and to receive support in India. Therefore, what is the solution for the work in India to continually to preach the gospel, also to carry on responsibilities? The solution is sustainability. Sustainability is the solution. I was speaking to Pastor Paul, the man of God, whom I count as a father, spiritual father, and the rivers when I met them last time. And thank God, today I'm standing in front of you with a report of a chicken farm project. And we are able to set up a chicken farm project in India. There's a small chicken farm project. It's about 210,000 chicken capacity about 70 people working right now in the project. And that project is helping 104,000 eggs for all orphanages. And you know, we need eggs every month equivalent to $6,000. $6,000 can buy enough eggs per month to provide eggs for orphaned children. So thank God, this chicken farm is providing, number one, enough eggs to orphaned children. Number two, also provided work to about 70 people living on campus, in the chicken farm campus, and serving, working there. Number three, this project, after paying all the bills, expenditures, this project is paying about 800 to 1,000 orphaned children payment. So it is supporting about 800 to 1,000 orphaned children with the food, clothing, education, and all the needful. So gradually in the future, we are praying to develop such sustainable projects, God's willing, so that we may be self-sufficient in the country to continually support the work, also to bring the gospel to the people of India. So this is the idea, friends. Maybe in the next meeting, in the next session, I will be sharing about a hospital project, which is in my heart, and that is also to help people in India also to become sustainable. So friends, thank you so much for the opportunity. If we still have time, I have just a 4 minutes video segment, greetings from India, from our children, orphan children, missionaries, and so. And today, if there are some brothers or sisters would like to learn more about our work here in America, also in India, in America, we are known as India for Jesus, and you are most welcome to learn more about our nonprofit organization, or you are welcome to help through our church here, St. Paul's. And some of the brothers and sisters supporting orphan children, sponsoring individually. If you are not receiving your child report, kindly let me know. And if there is any change in address or anything, I can take and send it to India. And still there are so many children need of sponsors. And it costs about little over $1 per day to sponsor a child, to provide them with the food, clothing, education, medical care, and overall development. So more importantly, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for your prayers and support. Dear Pastor Brad and all the saints, thank you. God bless you. See you in the minute.
Father, I thank you for everyone who is here. I pray that you will bless them and you will guide them into the life you have planned for them.
His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Mit navn er Gert Svendsen, jeg kommer fra Danmark. Vi er på besøg hernede, og vi er lige nu på besøg på sygeplejerskolen her i Kamam, på Udborg Grønne, jeg er herude. Og her står en flok på 50 sygeplejersker med lærer og ledere, som er i gang med en 3,5-årig uddannelse. Hvor vigtigt det er, at de her de kan bruges i det indiske samfund, og hvad det er, de bliver undervist i her.
Så skal alle dine kærlighed.
Everyone is precious for him.
Vi er ude i Spiralskolen lige uden for København. For mange mennesker så er det jo et forfærdeligt syn at se en fod, som ser sådan her ud. Tilbage i den bibelske tid, hvor mennesker også der bliver udstødt fuldstændig ud af den uden for byen og bliver sat et helt andet sted. Fordi man vil ikke have mindet for at give, sådan er det også her. I Indien er der cirka 5 millioner spedalske. Man påstår, der ikke er nogen, men der er cirka 5 millioner spedalske. Det arbejde her, som GTSSS har her, er i cirka 24 landsbyer, hvor man tager rundt og dels uddeler mad, og dels giver medicin. Vi har lige været med til at uddele mad, og som I kan se på filmen før det her.
Shalom, friends. Today is the 19th of February 2018. We praise God for the joy of giving 6 motorbikes to 6 missionary families who are praying for a long time. There are over 300 missionary families like this, still waiting and praying for motorbikes. Please pray and see if the Lord is allowing you to stand behind one of those missionary families to help them with a motorbike for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ here in India.
Jeg hedder Gert Svendsen. Jeg kommer fra foreningen Agape Indien Danmark. Vi er en lille forening i Danmark, som arbejder for det sted her blandt andet. Vi arbejder for GTSSS i Indien. GTSSS i Indien er en organisation, som prøver at hjælpe blandt andet en hel masse børn som dem her ud af slummen og ind i en ny ære af deres liv. De får en uddannelse, de får noget skolegang, de får mad, de får tøj osv. Allerførst vil jeg gerne have lov at sige tak til alle de medlemmer af Agape Indien Danmark, alle de sponsorer af Agape Indien Danmark, som støtter det her arbejde. Vi er lige nu cirka 110-15 stykker i Danmark, som støtter det her arbejde, både ved hjælp af støttede præster, men også af børn. Og vi ønsker at udvide det her arbejde rigtig, rigtig meget. Tak for jeres forbøn. Tak for jeres medleven i det her. Gyllefarm her, der er plads, som vi også har skrevet ud til jer, til 171.000 høns lige nu. Og de forventer at bygge op til et par 30.000 mere. Men arealet herudover her, det er her, hvor vi er. Og vi glæder os rigtig meget til at komme rundt og se det. Og se alle bygninger og se, hvad det er, hvordan hønsene bliver fodret osv. Men der er mange af de her, som sidder ca. 90.000 euro. Men mere om det senere. Tak for det.
Bishop Jacob said that that's actually the wrong video, so we'll just come again next service and you'll see the right one, right? You know, what was really profound in that is, you think about how this all began. It began with an encounter with God. Like one person, two missionaries laid hands on Bishop Jacob, and he and his family met Jesus. And then you have the, you know, we celebrate the 80%, right? And we still pray for the 20% that they would return to Christ and those roots they have. And so I just, with the sustainability, there's so much going on. We give thanks to the Lord right now. I want to pray that. Would you join with me? Jesus, it's just so good to be connected around this world, Lord. There's one church. There's one bride of Christ. There's one. And you unite us in incredible ways. And Lord, we celebrate. We don't praise man, but we celebrate when man obeys. And God, over Bishop Jacob, we celebrate and thank you for what you've done in his life, God, up to this point, and the fruit of hundreds of thousands. God, we pray that would get into the seven figures, the millions of salvations that would come out of this, Lord. Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in India and what you're doing here, the ways we can partner to really draw us closer as one church. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and what you've done, and we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen.